How many moms I got in the room? We got any moms? God bless you. You know, moms are pretty awesome. As babies, obviously, we're so attached to our mothers. And then you grow and you're about four or five. And I remember thinking my mom was the most beautiful person in the world and I wanted to marry her. And then I hit about 10, 12, 13 and asked a lot of questions and really irritated her. And then you grow up and you get to be a teenager and you kind of despise the authority that they have over you and think they take stupid pills and all that. But then you get into your 20s and your 20s and 30s and you're thinking, wow, you know, she kind of knew a little more than I did. And you kind of appreciate the wisdom that they had. Your eyes are fully open at that point. Your brain is close to being fully developed. Mine's not quite fully developed yet, but then you ask them, you know, then you fellowship with them and you can compare notes and there's a pretty sweetness that happens there as you get older with your parents, or it was for me anyway, with my mother. I could always talk to her and then you miss talking to them because they're gone. And so that kind of struck me this week as I was thinking about this message and just the importance of a mother and God's heart in the whole matter of making them. Obviously, there's a reason that we're here. I know that's elementary, but it's true, right? You know, praise God, on May 9th, 1914, President Woodrow Wilson declared a national day to celebrate mothers, right? And I've heard a lot of bad things about Wilson, but I'm going to give him a thumbs up on this one, right? And I loved looking at some quotes. You know, being a mother is like being a gardener of souls. You tend your children, make sure the light always touches them. Right? That was Karen White that said that. M.L. Stedman, he said this: such a mysterious business, motherhood. How brave a woman must be to embark on it. Boy, ain't that the truth. Or Robert Browning said this: motherhood, all love begins and ends there. And my mom taught me how to love. She was a lover. She was a lover of people. She loved her children. And it's a powerful legacy. She impacted me and my siblings with her incredible love. You know, you've heard that saying, only a mother could love that face. Well, and I maybe all of us have been there at times, you know, when they wanted to kill us. But what a blessing. What a blessing moms are. And so somebody has rightly said, when God wants to do a great work, he gets a hold of a man. When he wants to do an exceptionally great work, he gets a hold of a woman, right? Now, I am not a feminist, right? I think we have our roles. God's created us differently. Go figure. For a reason, right? I tell people my wife is everything I am not, right? And I am stronger than her, though, right? Strong back and a weak mind. That's why I need her around. But as you look through scripture, you see where God, he uses these women in such a powerful way. You think about Eve. She was called the mother of all living. Bless her heart, right? She didn't have any Lamaze classes to go to. Or no one to teach her how to breastfeed or how to, you know, take care of a kid. God just gave it to her. And then one woman that we don't hear hardly anything about. How about Noah's wife, right? The mother of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, where we all came from, those three boys. All of us in this room came from those three boys. We don't hear anything about her, but I'm sure she was a great woman. And then we the mothers of the patriarchs, Sarah and Rebecca, the mother of Isaac and Jacob. And then you hear the story of the faith of Jochebed. You guys remember that name? Who her boy was? Right? Jochebed was the mother of Moses. And by faith, she builds this basket and covers it in pitch and chucks it in the Nile River amongst the crocodiles, believing that God was going to do something with this baby because there was something special about him. And sure enough, he became the deliverer of Israel. Or how about J.L. and her tent peg? Yeah, she did away with Sisera. And Esther, for such a time as this, I love Esther's heart as she is going to go before the king, and she said this. And I think this is just should be the heart of every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. She said, if I die, I die. But for such a time as this, God has called me to do this. God has called us for such a time as this, folks, to stand up and to be counted. And much like our hero of faith, Esther. And then Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, right? Being in labor, possibly in her 80s. That would have been a tough one. And then the young girl, Mary, that gave birth to Jesus. My grandmother believed that a woman's purpose in life was to give the world a son. And I know that even in our fellowship here, people have had infertility problems, and that's a heartbreaking thing. But God has given, I believe, he's given an instinctive mother's heart to all women. And it's a very powerful thing. And so we're going to look at Proverbs 31. I've never ever taught through this before, and I'm gonna skip a little bit of it. The first nine verses there is many believe Bathsheba giving instruction to her son Solomon, and moms, I just want you to know you have a huge impact on your boys, and. And so challenge them. I've said this before. Challenge them to be men, and maybe even use some of Bathsheba's words here. And before we read, let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for moms, Lord, that Lord, they've truly made our life vital and real and really blessed. Even though we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Lord, you've used these women in our lives, Lord, to bring us into this world, Lord, that we would have an opportunity to leave a legacy. And so I just pray for that blessing on them. I pray the blessing of your holy word, Lord, as we look at it this morning and celebrate the lives of these women, Lord. And we thank you. Thank you that we're free to say that word, women. And Lord, we love you and we praise you. And we know that you have a heart to nurture. You have a heart for us, Lord. You compare your Holy Spirit to that helper that the Lord made for the man in the garden. And Lord, I just pray that we would be yielded to that spirit even today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first nine verses there, as she encourages her son, she says these things. She instructs her son, saying, number one, don't be a womanizer. Don't be a drunk. Speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. Do what is right in judgment and help the needy. And here is a guy that was going to ascend to the throne in place of his father, David, and his mother is telling him, right, you better be careful. You better tread lightly and you better be wise. And arguably, Solomon's possibly one of the wisest people that we see in Scripture, except for his Achilles heel. And guess what it was? Them girls. them girls that would worship false gods. And he listened to his mom pretty much, mostly. But then he didn't listen to her in other areas. And there's a proverb that I used to share with the, especially with the little boys that would be giving their mothers fits. Now it was sad because as the school pastor at Water Springs, many times I would get called to do the disciplining of the children from parents. I'm going, that's not my job. That's your job. In fact, I want them to like me, you know. But I would bring them in, especially little boys when they would despise their mother and be extremely rebellious and disrespectful to their moms. I would bring them in and I would read this proverb to us, found in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17. It says, "The eye that mocks father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pluck it out and the young eagles will eat it." And I would say, "Boy, you want your eyeballs plucked out and eaten by birds?" No. I said, "You better listen to your mama." I gained a little bit of ground with that, you know. That's pretty serious stuff there. But many question whether Solomon made it into heaven. And I think that he saw the error of his ways, and we can glean from the end of the book of Ecclesiastes that maybe he came to his senses and think, man, mom was right after all. This is man's all, to love God and obey his commandments. And so it is with you and I. And many of us, God has given mothers and grandmothers to point us to the Holy One. And so let's read here. I'm going to take this in 4 or 5 verse chunks, and we'll get through it here and get at who all's getting baptized. Can I see who's getting baptized? Hey, right on. All right. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. And we'll get to that in celebration of this incredible day. Starting in verse 10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her so that he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants." I thought, wow, this is a pretty cool lady, right? It starts off with saying, who can find a virtuous wife? What does virtue mean? In this sense, it means a wife of valor, of valor. That, in other words, this woman is extremely courageous. And as I look back at my almost 37 years of marriage to my wife, I'm thinking, man, this woman is extremely courageous. It can mean an army, valor here, or virtuous, in the sense of all forms of excellence like warriors, right? And that's a mom. You know, a lot of people are sideways with their moms. And, you know, thinking, well, she wasn't that good a mom. I read Proverbs 31, and my mom wasn't nothing like that. I remember my mom telling me about her mom, who I thought was an angel. And my mom told me, "Scotty, you do not know the woman that I know." Right? And yes, it's the whole grandparent thing. I don't know what it is. My Grandma Jones was a glorious woman. But the fact is, what you got to learn to do, folks, don't hold a grudge against your mother, right? Let it go. I don't know what she's done to you, but listen, if you can glory in one thing, well, I can't even find anything to be thankful for. You're here, aren't you? Right? She chose to go through labor and bring you into this world, right? And maybe from then on she failed. Give her that one, would you? Just give her that one. You know, the Bible says that we're to honor our father and mother. We're to honor them. doesn't say that we're to honor them if they deserve it. Because I know there's probably a lot of parents, a lot of mothers, they don't deserve the honor of their children. They failed them miserably. But you can give them that. You can give them that, right? Because listen, they probably did the best that they could do in their own thinking with what they had when they had you, and they didn't kill you, right? Maybe they tried occasionally. I know my mom, if when I was a teenager, if she thought she could have gotten away with it, maybe. Shallow grave, you know? Get rid of this punk. But ain't nothing like a mother's love, right? She had an unconditional love for us. But this woman it's a courageous thing to be a mother and to go through bringing a child into this world. Even those who have chosen to give their little ones up for adoption instead of abortion, it's a powerful thing. It's a courageous thing. And I praise God for that heart. It says her husband trusts in her. He has a confidence in his wife. Being confident of your wife is a powerful thing. That's one thing I've always been so comfortable with my wife and who she's around, and because I have such a confidence in her that she's committed to me. And I'm committed to her. And we started our marriage actually right. We had no physical interaction prior to saying our vows and to committing our lives to one another. And that is a powerful thing. That is the reason I have that kind of confidence in her, is because she waited for me. And it's a powerful thing. And to not be suspicious or questioning, does a man's heart good? The Bible talks about a jealous husband, and that is one miserable person, is somebody who is jealous of their wife. It says she is bent on doing good to him all her days. When I do marriage counseling, I take couples through Ephesians chapter 5, and in verse 33, it says, "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular, husbands, so love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband," right? That respect that she gives him, that builds a confidence in him. And she helps him to become all that God has created him to be. She willingly works with her hands. She gets up early and makes sure. Right? I love people who are early risers. They just seem to get more done. And when I was young, I had a job where I had to get up early. And it's just like from 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock, you can get more done than you can all day long. From 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock, you can get more done than working all day, working a 12-hour shift. It's fascinating. We see Jesus doing it, getting up early before the sun and seeking the Father. It's a powerful thing when a wife gets up early. She gets work done and everyone is taken care of. My grandma, she used to get up early. You know, she was always dark when she got up. And her first thing on the list every morning was to get in God's word and to write notes about what the Lord was teaching her. And then to make sure all of her husband, her kids, and her grandkids were fed. She only had one kid. She gave the world a son. She had one. And she had four grandkids. That's all she ever had. But that was her whole focus. And that's what it talks about this woman, that she's diligent. Verse 16 says, she considers a field and buys it from her profits. She plants a vineyard and girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the staff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hands to the poor and she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. She's a working machine, this woman. And she's not lazy. She's not idle at all. Her life is it's a blessing to those around her, the poor and needy. She's a philanthropist. Did I say that right? You know what a philanthropist is? It's a philanthropic person. No, it's people who uses what God gives them to bless others. And this woman, she knows how to make money. And as God blesses her, she blesses others. It's a cyclical thing, right? And that's what we're called to do as believers in the Lord. As the Lord blesses us, it says that we're to bless others. And when it's within your power to do good for somebody, then do it. And this woman, she's a go-getter, and from her goods, it says actually from her buying and selling and her wisdom with money, she's able to buy a plot of ground and plant a vineyard. And I don't know if you know what it takes to plant a vineyard, but man, that's some serious labor, right? Putting those things in the ground for the vines to grow on and all that, and keeping them in rows. And back then, no doubt it was extra. Manual labor, not afraid of hard work. Proverbs 14, 23 and 24 says, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk only leads to poverty. Right? God has designed us, folks, to work. We're finding as our society spirals down, I talk to employers all the time. Man, the struggle to find people that will just show up on time, work a full shift, right? Work a full shift, give you all they got for 8 hours. It's a rarity. It's sad. When I see young people that like to work, I'm going, good on you. God's gonna bless your socks off, right? Because you're willing to put in some work. You're willing to do what God has called you to do. I believe that we're all called to do this work and to be smart. You know, it's talking about making money. Money is the single most thing that Jesus talked about than anything else was money. And why is that? I believe it's because it is his biggest rival. The love of money is the biggest rival to the Lord Jesus in our hearts, right? Didn't he compare that, made the comparison? You can't serve God and mammon. You're gonna love one and hate the other, right? What do you love? And so this woman, she's using the blessings that God is giving her from her hard work to bless others. She's reaching out to the poor and the needy. She possesses so much success, it's as though she's royalty, right? Because it says her clothing is fine linen and purple. That's a sign of royalty, right? She's a pretty snazzy dresser, right? But she's doing it, and actually there's a beautiful picture here, because in 1 Peter chapter 2, it talks about us as believers in the Lord. It says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And the priests would wear, these are priestly colors that it's talking about here. You are a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now a people of God, and who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. This woman, her purple is not to promote herself. It's to promote her God and how great he has blessed blessed her. Verse 23 says, her husband is known in the gates when she sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. This chick is stellar, right? And I've heard in Christendom since I've been a Christian about the Proverbs 31 woman. I haven't met very many. And there's a reason for that, and I'll get to that. But notice, her life is a blessing to her husband, so much so that she makes him better. Can I see the hands of the men, your wife, make you better? If you don't raise your hand, you're probably going to be in trouble. My wife is a companion to the Holy Spirit when it comes to Scotty Brown, right? And she does make me better. And there are restraints that I have because of my wonderful bride. And that's what it talks about here. She makes him so good that he's elevated to a person of status in the community, right? The old saying is true. Behind every good man, there's a pretty good woman, right? Behind every good man, there's a pretty good woman. Because he sits among the elders of the land, right? And in the place of leadership, she's clothed with strength and has a great attitude for the future. How many people I talk to that are seeing what's happening in the world and getting all watered up about stuff? Do we not know who's in control? Listening to Jan Markell, right? Jan Markell is a Jewish Christian who is very into prophecy. And Jan Markell, as she sees the chaos around the world, the chaos in Israel and all over the world, she's the one that coined the phrase, things are not falling apart. Things are falling into place, right? That's what Markell said. I thought, that is a smart woman, right? And so she would fall into line with the attitude of a Proverbs 31 woman. And she opens her mouth with wisdom. And, you know, we hang on to that and we proclaim it quite a bit, especially when our mouth gets in trouble. Gets us in trouble. James 1:19, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. This Proverbs 31 woman, when she speaks, I'm telling you, people listen. You been around people like that in your life? That when they speak, you're thinking, I need to listen to this person. They are full of wisdom. I remember hearing an interview with Elizabeth Elliot, the wife of the missionary that was killed, Jim Elliot. And just the wisdom that came out of her is very, very powerful. And so, girls, be careful. You girls, you have a little bent towards being a little wordy. Right? It's okay to keep a cap on that. When you got something to say, say it. Otherwise, be careful. You know? And it says her children respect her and call her blessed as her man praises her. Why is that? Because she knows where everything is. She just does. My wife, I don't know how she does it. Honey, have you seen this? Honey, have you seen that? Mom, have you seen my mom? She knows. She's Johnny on the spot every time. She knows where everything is. No wonder they respect her. Because if they don't, they're not going to get what they're looking for. You know, Verse 29 says, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. It's almost like she's perfect, the perfect woman. Proverbs 31, the reason I haven't seen many Proverbs 31 women is because I haven't met any perfect women, right? So when I read through this scripture, you guys, what I see is I see a bar set by our God, right? The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is our example. Is he not? And I remember years ago, I was asked to be on in a group of deacons, and they had us read 1 Timothy chapter 3 as the qualifications for a deacon. And as I read through it, I can't do this. I don't qualify, right? And I was just being honest because I don't know any man that qualifies. And it's a bar set. It's something to shoot at. Now, I am convinced that I miss the mark every day, right? That I've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Proverbs 31 seems to be that kind of a bar, just like what Jesus set for us. And I think I had the scripture written down here somewhere where he's that example. There it is. It's in First Peter chapter 2. And it says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Does anyone in this room follow the steps of Christ Jesus perfectly? No, you don't. But he's our example, right? And if you're not shooting for that, you're groveling, you're floundering in a puddle of sin. And so who, it says, we should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And so that's what I think this passage of scripture is, because I think so many women just like, they read that and they go, I can't do that. I can't measure up to that. I'm not, here it is, worthy. No, you're not worthy, but Jesus is. And if Jesus lives in you, as you keep shooting for that mark, right, and you miss the bullseye, you and I, we keep shooting for that mark to be like Jesus, and we fall short. You do, my brother is always famous at saying this, you do begin to sin less. We will never be sinless, but we do sin, comma, less. Is that proper, Dara? Right? We're never sinless, the compound word. Oh, he's sinless. He never sins. No, that's not true. But as we keep shooting at the mark, women, as you continue to shoot at the mark of the Proverbs 31 women, and body of Christ, as we continue to shoot for the mark of Christ Jesus being our example, yes, we will slowly sin less. And that's comforting. That's comforting to me that God is so gracious and so merciful that when we blow it, he gives us another chance. His mercies are new every morning. Joy comes in the morning that we can put those things behind us. Last couple verses here as we close this up. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Beauty is passing. Amen. You know, the encouraging scripture in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 says, do not let your adornment, right? That's what the word charm there means. Adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing of gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of the Lord. That's what God's desire. It's the inside. It's that hidden, quiet spirit on the inside. I saw a picture of Anne Margaret here a while back. And Anne still looks pretty good. She's in her 80s, right? But one thing you're going to notice about women who get that old, they've had a lot of work done, right? My wife says, Scotty, you can't say that. That's offensive to women, that they've had work done. Really? I don't find it offensive. Now, I would not go up to a woman and say, wow, you have had a lot of work done. But doesn't it just play? It just plays into what Moses was talking about in Psalm 90, right? In Psalm 90, he says, right, teach us, Lord, to number our days that we would gain a heart of wisdom, right? That the length of a person's life is 70 years. And if by reason of strength, they live to be 80 years, their only boast, check this out, is labor, work, and sorrow. They didn't get all the wrinkles with this facelift, right? And I look like I'm from a different country. No, I had one of my bosses one time. She got this facelift and I mean, she looked like she had been in a barroom brawl. I mean, everything was swollen. Both eyes were black. And I'm going, you did this for beauty's sake? It's just labor. It's work to try to keep whatever we got, right? No, this life's fading away. Girls, just let it fade. My wife goes, no way. I'm not getting rid of my Clairol. I've asked her, says, honey, just let it go gray. Not gonna do it. See, girls see this thing a whole little, lot different than we do. Bless your hearts. We love you. But notice the contrast, right? Charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, and oh, does it pass, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. 26 years ago on Friday, my grandma, Jewel Dean Brown, passed away. And she was a woman who feared the Lord. And she put the fear of the Lord in us with her preaching finger. And I always tell the story of her washing Rick's mouth out with soap. My gosh, was that funny. But I got a few thrashings myself from Jewel Dean. But it's funny, when we talk about her now, 26 years after her death, what do we talk about? Her fear of the Lord that impacted our lives so greatly. I remember weeping over her as she died. We were there when she took her last breath, and I reached down and I gave her a kiss on the cheek, and she had passed, and I started crying, and I said, Grandma, thank you. For sharing Jesus with us. And she still gets praised, right? And so, she was testifying one time. They were at a Bible study, and she went to a Bible study, and you had to be careful with Jewel Dean, because she knew her Bible. And this guy that was leading the study. He said, hey, has anybody got a little testimony or a little praise the Lord, however you want to? She goes, yeah. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and I'm just a saying so. And the guys well said, man, well, maybe you should teach this Bible study. She says, no, sir, I'm not a preacher. I just raise them, right? I just raise preachers. Rick and I were teaching Bible studies at that time. My dad was teaching a Bible study, and my grandpa, her husband, was teaching a Bible study. So she just raised them. She kept us fed and kept us on track. But that fear of God, I'm just going to tell you, moms and grandmas, you may not see it in your lifetime, the answer to your prayers, your labor for your kids and for your grandkids. But I'm telling you what, God is taking note. This woman, this Jewel Dean, her mother prayed for Rick and I when we were in utero. And I couldn't get away from them. You couldn't get away from those prayers. They were the most stealthy hounds of heaven that you've ever seen. They never back off. They just keep nipping at your heels and nipping at your heels. And okay, I quit. My life's yours, right? God knows which buttons to push. And so, it's a powerful thing. Whatever fruit we bear, we will be partakers of, right? Verse 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates, right? Your works follow you, good or evil, they follow you. And this person is the person who wants to hear at the end of their life, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord, right? And so this whole thing, right, is that bar that's set really high, but also this ultimately points to Jesus in his people. This ultimately points to his pure bride that he's coming back for. This Proverbs 31, this picture of the Holy Spirit in the people of God. John Phillips writes, coming to the end of this poem in Proverbs 31 and the end of this book, this pinpoints the organizing factor in this brilliant woman's universe. It is her fear of Yahweh that enables her to see that real greatness will come to her, not through self-centered aggressiveness and not through merely external beauty, but through godly devotion and the wholehearted commitment of God's creational intention for her. And so it is with all of us. Amen. We all have something to shoot at. It's perfect. We'll never quite get there, but please don't take your eyes off of it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. Lord, that you're so good. You've been so good to us. Lord, your Holy Spirit, that comforter, much like what a mother is. And so, Lord, I just pray your blessing upon these women. And Lord, that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that they would finish out their days being in a place of fearing you and producing fruit. Lord, that we would truly excel the world's ideals of what it's like. What it's like for moms, what it's like for the body of Christ. And only you can bring that excellence. And so, Father, we love you. And as we're in an attitude of prayer right now, I just want to ask all the moms to stand. Stand to your feet. You moms. Maybe you who just want to be a mom, stand to your feet. I want to pray for you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the courage of these people in this room, Lord, who have chosen, Lord, to give life. And Lord, we ask your blessing upon them, Lord. as they pray for their posterity, and maybe as they pray for future little ones, Lord, I pray that you would bless, that you would bless the fruit of the womb. And Lord, that you would bless them as they seek you with all their hearts. Lord, that they would rise up early and that they would be that voice of intercession for the ones that they've born and the ones that they will. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for them and pray your mighty blessing upon them this day in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Let's all stand, shall we? Yeah, give them a hand. Thank you, you guys. We love you. I also have to remind the parents to go get your kids before the baptism, lest they be hanging from the chandeliers.